Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Welcome to Hockey Central at Noon. I'm Riley Pollock, your host for the show today. We have a whole bunch going on. Coming up around 12:30, Aaron Portsline with Boomer from this morning. We will play that again as he had a pretty good conversation with Boomer, Will Nault, and Mike Commodore. Of course, we have No BS with Brian Burke around 12:45, and then we'll give way to Logan Gordon, who will kick off Pinder and Steinberg at 1 o'clock. But first, we got to get some news on the Flames as they've been off for a couple days and are back in action tomorrow night. Let's talk to Lou.
Flames insider Peter Loubardias, brought to you by the Gemini Group Home Renovations. Imagine your life, your style. Your home renovation should be a reflection of you. Give your home the Gemini difference. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
Hello, Mr. Loubardias. How are you doing today?
Look at you, the maiden voyage of Hockey Central at noon. You know, you're doing updates right now. You're tummy's turning a little bit. You know, you're not really worried about other things. But you know what? Here's the great thing. I remember a few of my first shifts along the line. I think I was considerably even younger than you. But we're just, you know, we're going to take this little show over the next hour, and we're going to take this segment, and you know, you're going to think it's easy by the time we're done at least the next 20 or 25 minutes. Well, Welcome.
I couldn't think of anyone else I'd rather have my first hosting gig with. So happy that it's with you.
Yes. Well, I appreciate that very much.
All right. Well, we got a lot to cover today.
We have a few things.
There's been a few days off for the Flames, so topics build up here. I guess the big one is on defense, as Travis Hamonic looks close to being able to return. Anything new on that front?
Well, I wouldn't say there's anything new, but everything to this point, and Jeff Ward hasn't spoken yet to the media, and I'm not sure it will be confirmed for absolute sure until tomorrow. But again, the pairings as they were yesterday look the same this morning at practice, with Giordano and Anderson and Travis back playing on a pairing with TJ Brody, and then Gustafson and Forbort, and the other defenseman being Shillington at Stone. You know, Travis hasn't played in 14 games. He was hurt on the 8th of February in that particular contest. They've missed him. He's a massive part of their top four and has been since he arrived here. And somewhat interesting that Noah Hanifin still not available as of yet. Yesterday, as you may have heard throughout the course of the day, and I know you did, that, you know, it's an upper body situation. They're certainly in a protocol situation. So concussion certainly at the top of the list, but I get the sense that it's hopefully not anything that is too severe. So, you know, Travis coming back in, it gives you a key penalty killer, key guy in the top four. I think it's somewhat interesting if indeed he plays, and I certainly have not seen anything, did not see anything this morning that would suggest that he wouldn't. You know, he's certainly a top pairing penalty killer for this team. We'll have to see if he's used right off the hop, if indeed he plays tomorrow against his old group, if he'll be utilized the same way. But generally, Riley, when these things happen, when people are ready to play, they're ready to play, or else they don't play. Now, there are different circumstances, and, you know, at this time of the year when we're 70 games in, you know, lots of guys are bumped and bruised, and they're far from 100%, but Travis has an incredible pain threshold, and as we heard from him yesterday, excited to be very, very close to returning.
It's going to be a coach's decision at the end of the day, but I feel good. I feel healthy, and have another good practice day tomorrow, and see what Coach Ward has to say, but certainly eager to get back in there. It's been a little bit.
Yeah, it has been a little bit. 14 games is a long time. 14 games in a race that is so important. And, you know, no matter what you do for a living, no one wants to be on the sidelines. And, you know, Travis is an ultra, ultra competitive, emotional, passionate person. And I think for those types, it's even harder to step back and not be involved and not feel like you can have any effect on the outcome day in and day out. Plus, Riley, the other thing sometimes is when you're away that long, you don't even feel like you're a part of it sometimes. You know, you're on a different program. You're not traveling with the team. And I know what it's like to even sometimes, as I was the last couple of days, be away from it and miss a day of practice. You know, you feel a little bit removed, let alone if you go over a month with not playing in games and maybe not being around your group quite as much. So, you know, for Travis, it's been a trying time. He's excited. This is the time that you want to play. You want to help your team. He desperately wants to get back into the playoffs. And, you know, here he is on just where the team is at and what he hopes he can bring.
You know, I think a lot of times coaches and players will say, like, as the season moves along, there's kind of some parts in this season where things start to tighten up. And you see that certainly right after the All-Star break. You know, things really start to tighten up. And then after the deadline and coming down the playoff stretch, there's not a lot of room on the ice. Everybody's in position. Everybody knows where they need to be, and everyone knows how to play. So there's not as many breakdowns. So defensively, I think you got to be dialed in because it could be that one breakdown, that one miss assignment, that one miss check, or whatever it is that can cost you the game and a big 2 points in the standings. And I think offensively on that side, it's just this time of year, the nature of it is you don't get as much room, so you're not creating as much. And when that happens, you got to bear down on your chances. So I guess it's a double-edged sword that you got to tighten up, but you got to try and capitalize when you have that opportunity. But I would say that's widespread throughout the entire league, yeah.
And Riley, I think you would probably agree, wouldn't you? Aren't we seeing that around the league?
Absolutely. And I think that the Flames have handled it better this season than they did last. They've played much better, I think, since the All-Star break this season than they did last season. I don't know on records, but just from the eye test, it seems like they've handled that tightening a little bit better this season. And they're battling pretty hard these past couple weeks, for sure.
Well, they absolutely are. And Jeff Ward uses a phrase a lot, and it's called battle-tested, and not even he likes to point back to last year because, as I think we all learn the more we do this, 1 year is not unto the next. And when you have those kind of expectations, and I've spoken about it a lot on this particular program, I think one of the things that has, you know, plagued is a very strong adjective, but probably one thing I think this team's had a tough time with a lot of this year is that, you know, they haven't necessarily been able to do things at the same level that they did last year. And that becomes very difficult when your game as an individual and as a team doesn't translate. But what you just have to understand is that this team is in a fight. Every game, as you know, Riley, from being around it and following it very closely, as you do, and we all do here at the radio station, it's felt like a big game. Like, I don't even like to use the phrase big game, because what is a big game anymore? Every night matters, and every point you can get your hands on really matters. And that truly has been the mindset and has to be the mindset. It has to be the mindset of the Flames. It has to be the mindset of just about everybody in the league until you take care of one thing. Until it says, you know that X beside your team name that indicates you've clinched a playoff spot? Well, until, you know, X marks the playoff spot, you're not there. And every night, last night was another night where, you know, Vancouver stays right in the thick of it. They win a game in a shootout. So now they've moved closer and they still have a game in hand. So your ability, the best you can, and think about what's going on right now with the virus and, you know, we don't, our world right now, even at the radio station, is kind of hour by hour. It really is. So, you know, add that little chunk of change to everything that this team has been through this year. But, you know, Travis, I thought, put all of it in great perspective. And having Travis back is also important, not just because of the type of player he is. I think this really, in a world where sometimes experience doesn't seem to matter as much anymore, it matters. When you have been through and you are older and you understand the value of playing in the playoffs and what it takes at a certain time of year because you've been through it. It just helps you manage it. And the Flames, really, too, Riley, are in a scenario where they've kind of gone from being a young team to, no, they're not as young anymore. And even, you know, Sean Monahan, who's 25, or Johnny Gaudreau, who's 26, well, this isn't their first rodeo anymore. And that's why this season has arrived where it is, because people do have high expectations and they do want more. And this team does have better personnel. But, you know, to get back quickly to Travis, terrific to have him back if indeed he plays tomorrow. And I'm fully at this point expecting to see him back in the lineup, because not only if Hanifin is not ready to play, is it a great person to plug and play with, I also think it's just really important to have another experienced veteran person to help you through this stretch run. I think it's really vital.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you. I think just his presence in the locker room, his presence on the ice, he's willing to do literally anything for the team, and you always want a guy like that on the ice as opposed to off of it. That kind of gets us into the next topic here. You talk about Noah Hanifin and him being out. I don't think he's going to be out for too long, or that's what all signs are kind of pointing to. What does this decor look like when Hamonic and Hanifin are back in the lineup?
Well, the interesting thing to me is how the team's going to go when that does happen. And we don't know that yet, but we'll let you know when we do know that. I would not be the least bit surprised, Riley, if they look at even going with an 11 forward, 7 defenseman alignment. And here's the reason why. I think Erik Gustafsson, and you can judge how well you think he's played 5-on-5, but that's been a pretty good pairing for your team. He and Derek Forbort, they're very different types of players. It would be difficult for me right now to remove Gustafsson out of the lineup, and for one big reason. The power play has run at a pretty good level ever since he's been quarterbacking one of the two units, and he's been quarterbacking the number one unit. So, not saying for sure, and haven't had a chance yet to ask Jeff Ward, and he won't address it, frankly, until he's in a position to have to address it. But I wonder if the group would consider, you know, going 11 forwards and 7 defensemen. Now, maybe for Jeff, that's completely out of the realm, and he would want no part of that. I mean, you still have other people. I mean, Mark Giordano's been running the first power play unit for the last year plus prior to his injury and that addition. But it is a great topic, and I'm very interested to see what they do in that regard, because the great thing is you have options, but sometimes the hard part is you have options and you're trying to keep everybody, you know, involved and playing, and, you know, 11 and 7 can be tenuous sometimes because guys aren't getting in the right rhythm. But what do you need? And with games, as you even heard from Travis, Riley, being so close, and there's just so little room and so little to determine most nights as far as the outcome is concerned, don't tell me that right now two things aren't even more elevated than maybe normal: goaltending and special teams. So if someone can give you an edge in regards to special teams, whether it's penalty killing or on the power play, and, you know, the stats speak to it, power play has been running pretty well, you know, since Gustafsson has joined the team. It hasn't been perfect. There's still room for improvement. But, you know, you take a look at some of their recent games, it's helped turn games around. It's helped win games. It's made a difference. So you're right. It's a great topic, and it will be interesting when and if there ends up being more options. The other thing that will occur too, Riley, is you're not going to carry 9.
Yeah.
You're not going to carry 9. So, you know, does that mean somebody like Oliver Shillington, who has that ability at this point in time, because all of a sudden it's been a long time since he's been in the lineup. People need to play.
And Stockton's in a pretty good race of their own right now, too, so it'd be some important minutes for him if he did end up going back down there. But yeah, if they're only rolling six defensemen, I think really the only option is Forbert coming out, and that's not because of his play, but it's just because the other...
Yeah, and you know what, Riley? I'm not so sure I'm leaning in that direction. Right now, I might, depending on exactly what they need, and I know that I think Forbert has been somewhat underrated, in my opinion. I think he's been solid and steady. He's been very good, by and large, in Travis's absence, at least in the time that he's been with the team. He's been a pretty reliable penalty killer. Big wingspan, in the lane, block shots. Now, he's had some games that have been, you know, better than others, and I can understand, you know, maybe based on the last couple, why he might be susceptible. And you know what? He might be susceptible. But he gives you a heavier shot blocking, penalty kill type of player that I think it wouldn't necessarily be that easy to immediately eliminate him. But, you know, those questions will be answered when they have to be, and which is good because in Sports Talk Radio, we don't mind having topics to throw around.
Yeah, I'm just glad I'm not the one making the decisions, because it seems like no matter what happens, someone will be scrutinizing it. But that's why we're not the coach. And we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, we have no choice. I mean, that's our job, is to break things down and to analyze and to try to understand. And always, I think the key is, you know, a little word of advice, I think, for young people and young broadcasters, at least as far as this old guy is concerned, is if you don't know the answers, before you start trotting out lots of opinion, keep asking people who do. No more. That's today's little piece of advice.
All right. Sticking with the Flames here, we got Michael Backlund has been on an absolute tear since, well, really the beginning of January, February?
Yeah, he's the last month, I can honestly say, and I've seen a great deal of his career up close and personal since he was a first-round pick in the year 2007. So outside of about a year and a half of action when I was, you know, in a bit of a different spot in my career and around the team or not around the team as much, you know, Michael has just been at an outstanding level. And the reason I wanted to bring it up today was just moments before the hit began, I had an opportunity to ask Matthew Tkachuk about Michael, and I know the kind of respect he has for him, and you know they've played a lot together during Matthew's first 4 years in the National Hockey League, and you know Matthew was very, very quick to point out that over the last month he thinks Michael's playing the best hockey he's ever seen, and he started with just how much he's had the puck, how competitive he is, how he's won battles, his ability to physically assert himself. And, you know, Matthew is an incredibly savvy, smart player. And I know the type of respect that he's always had for Michael. And I think there's been times, you know, he's not always in a position to say it, but, you know, the feeling I get is he's always felt that maybe Michael's been a little underrated or sometimes undervalued. And earlier in the year, it wasn't going that well for Michael. Frankly, before, you know, he got moved, Riley, back to center ice, it was not a very, very, you know, Michael Backlund type season. But after the break, Michael has just asserted himself. I personally think he's never played better in the league than he has over the last month. Yeah. And, you know, we all, and some of us, I stay a little bit more away in terms of who's your top line. For me, it's who's generally playing best and the type of role and the matchups that they end up in. But he right now, I'd like anybody to try and question the fact that he isn't this team's number one center, if you want to put numbers on it. And it's been great to watch. And he talked even himself about a conversation that he had with Jeff Ward. And Jeff Ward asked for more when he put him back at center. And Michael Backlund has just gone out and I think played the best hockey maybe of his career in the last 5 or 6 weeks.
Yeah, 22 points since February 1st and has really been good. 200-foot game just basically in every aspect.
There's hard. He's been hard to play against. He's been at his best offensively. You know, Patty gets tired of it sometimes, I think. But the one thing that I haven't changed my opinion on is when Michael Backlund is at a high-end two-way game, this team's hard to beat. That's how important I think he can be in regards to the way he helps this team determine outcomes in games.
What have you guys been talking about?
Not what you've been talking about for the last hour and a half.
I've had this is not really a conference call. This is fun, but yeah, I'll tell you. Did you guys have the thing about the Golden State Warriors yet?
No, we haven't. We've talked basically Flames. We've not delved into a lot
stuff.
Of coronavirus today.
Mariners moving their home games. Yes. Golden State Warriors going to play in an empty building.
The Leafs scouts have basically been told not to travel on airplanes.
Yeah, it's getting kind of crazy. This is very new. Wow. So Flames, Islanders tomorrow. What do we watch on the scoreboard tonight, guys? It seems every night.
Well, we have one really big one. I mean, there's big ones to watch. But, Kelly, I don't think if you need a starting point, do you have to go any farther than Winnipeg and Edmonton?
Exactly.
You know, for me, that would be must-see viewing for absolute sure. The Oilers are 4 points ahead after they stole another point in a game thanks to Mikko Koskinen. So that, for me, would be right at the top of the list. And maybe tonight, as far as the National Hockey League is concerned, it doesn't really go much farther than that because there's the Senators and Kings. We're not worried about that. Blues and the Ducks, not really worried about that. Rangers and Avalanche, well, you know, things are starting to shift a little in the Central because Dallas has fallen off in their play, and all of a sudden Nashville, that's won 3 in a row and played a really good game last night in Montreal, they're back to being right in the thick of it, and maybe not only just in the playoffs, but maybe they even take a run at Dallas in the Central.
And 2 weeks for McKinnon, is that what we're...
2 weeks from McKinnon, boy, oh boy, the way that team continues to just get nailed with injuries.
Are they going to get everybody back at the same time, though, Lou? Are they going to do you think, and then get super dangerous?
I think they're as dangerous as anybody in the West when they're completely healthy. And last year's playoff experience, Kelly, will go so far. McKinnon, though, if I was voting and I don't have a vote for the MVP, he'd be right near the top of my list because the way he has produced, the way he has carried the group through all their injuries and massive injuries, whether it's Rantanen, Landeskog, Kadri, you go up and down the list. So now they're going to find out what it's like at least for a couple of weeks to not have their best guy. And I think as good a player maybe right now as there is on planet Earth.
Yeah, that is going to be something to watch as we get closer and closer and all these side stories as well. But tomorrow, I guess, we'll dig a little deeper into the Flames and Islanders.
We will.
And see what's going on. Okay, Lou, we'll probably talk later today off the air. I got a feeling.
I bet we will.
Hey, Lou, I got something new for you. What do you want? Enjoy your day, and we'll talk tomorrow.
Hour by hour. Okay, talk soon.
Flames insider Peter Loubardias, brought to you by the Gemini Group Home Renovations. Imagine your life, your style. Your home renovation should be a reflection of you. Give your home the Gemini difference. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
How did you do?
I think it went well. We covered all the topics, and I kind of just, you know, tee Lou up and Let him roll.
That's good.
He's got a lot of info.
I'll tell you, I'm not kidding. That was 2 hours of coronavirus meetings.
Mm.
So far this morning about contingencies and stuff. And we're seeing it already where the Seattle Mariners announced that they're moving some home games.
Yeah.
The Golden State Warriors are, you know, going to play in an empty building tonight. And I think more to come as things go along. There's some stuff going in the background here right now. So
yeah, and that Seattle one affects their WHL teams too, who are very good at hockey. So I wonder if they're going to have to play their playoffs in an empty building.
Yeah, this is something else. So we'll see how this goes. Speaking of that, but also a neat story, the Columbus Blue Jackets and a good guy, Aaron Portsline, joined us early this morning. Now, he used to work for a newspaper in Columbus, but now he's over at The Athletic. Good friend of Mike Commodore's, and he kind of commented on what happened with, you have the governor of Ohio saying, how about we just can anything over 5,000 people? And the Blue Jackets said, no, we're good. We're gonna go ahead and play this game, and the Cavaliers and that kind of stuff. So we're going to replay that conversation because it's really good stuff. And also talk about how, what is John Tortorella really like? You might be surprised with the answer. It's next, right here on Hockey Central at Noon.
Hockey Central at Noon on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
All right, that was hopefully a good segment for you guys with Lou there. My first run at a live interview on the station, so that's nice. Now we're going to go to an interview that happened earlier this morning. It was Aaron Portsline with Boomer Wilnault and Mike Commodore. He kind of talked a little bit about the coronavirus and what the Blue Jackets are doing with it, and about Torts a little bit too, and what kind of person he really is. So here is that interview with Aaron Portsline.
Longtime beat writer covering the Blue Jackets, doing it now for theathletic.com. Portsy, good morning.
Well, good morning to you. How are things?
Well, it's good. I have a bit of a surprise for you.
Yes?
We're going back into your past. What was that, where you hear a voice, it's, I have someone from your past. Say hi to Aaron Portsline.
Aaron, what's going on? It's Mike Commodore. I'm working again.
Tommy!
Hey!
Tommy, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good, thank you. Thanks a lot for joining us. What's up?
I can't believe you're up at 6:50 to do radio in Calgary.
Neither can I.
And he just got off a plane from Mexico at midnight last night, so he's committed.
I was going to say, have you been to bed yet?
A little bit. You're basically talking to a bottle of tequila right now, Aaron. It's been a tough week.
Well, I went from Minnesota to Punta Cana, Dominican Republic, for a music festival for 5 days, then to Calgary for the continuation of the Blue Jackets road trip, Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver. My suitcase was an absolute disaster.
Yeah, you have to pack for pretty much everything on that road trip.
Is that a direct from Punta Cana to Calgary?
No, it is not. That was a long day.
This kind of, I guess, leads into one of the things we're going to talk about. How was traveling around? How was it? Did you find, like, was it busy? Because I found out going to Mexico and back, it wasn't like the airports and travel wasn't very busy.
You know, it's crazy. I must be going to the wrong places because my flight from Vancouver back to Columbus, well, through Chicago on, what was that, Monday, was packed. Both legs packed. Flights Calgary to Edmonton, Edmonton to Vancouver, packed. And the airports in Canada never seem as crowded as they do, like, say, Chicago and such. But it didn't seem any different to me. But my wife works in the airline industry and was saying that the numbers are dipping big time. So
I know it was earlier this week when, because of, there's obviously hot spots, and it looked like the San Jose Sharks were potentially going to have to maybe cancel a game, continue to look at having to either cancel or now play in front of a fanless crowd, if that makes any sense. Yesterday, I know that you put out the report yesterday, or at least put out your column, that your governor in Ohio has kind of done the same, and the Blue Jackets find themselves in a bit of a spot. Can you talk about the recommendation handed down by the governor and the response from the Blue Jackets?
Yeah, well, you used the right word there. It is a recommendation, not as yet an order. So he's recommending that large groups not gather, that spectators not attend sporting events. They're trying to stay on top of this before it can really get going. the Blue Jackets' response, they, obviously they're dealing closely with the league. The league is steering all of this. They're going ahead and playing their games. Fans will be welcomed as always. So no changes there. Thursday versus Pittsburgh, Saturday versus Nashville. Now you sit back now and wait. Does the governor now take it to the next step and say, okay, I'm not recommending, I'm ordering? And I think the club is prepared for that. I don't think they're expecting that necessarily, but I think it's on the realm of possibilities. So it's a very fluid situation, if I may use that word. They're watching, they're waiting, they're going to – this is the league steering it. The Blue Jackets, of course, working in concert with the league, but they're waiting for direction here, I think, on an hour-by-hour basis. It should also be noted that in Kami, you would remember this, in Columbus there's a huge Arnold Schwarzenegger festival.
Yeah.
That just encompasses all kinds of sports and brings in literally tens of thousands of people from all over the world. That was canceled last week, and that is a little bit different because you do have people coming literally from all points in the world for that festival. A Blue Jackets game, of course, draws people from around the area, but certainly not halfway around the world. So it's a little bit different in that respect.
Well, and Porty, I said this morning too, and I'm curious your thought on who you've been talking to and just kind of around the city. But it's one thing to, if you're the Blue Jackets, to say, yeah, we're going to open our doors. Come on in. The game is going as planned. That doesn't mean everyone's going to show up. I guess just what are you expecting in terms of numbers tonight? Is it going to be a full house?
Yeah, well, I really don't know. And the game tomorrow against Pittsburgh, it'll be curious. I mean, Twitter is not, I think we've all learned, is not emblematic of the entirety of the world. It is a sliver. There's a lot of people in there that are convinced that this is just pure silliness and they can't wait to go to the game Thursday and are not worried at all. I think it's foolish to think that everyone's going to feel that way. I think there are people, older people who have underlying health issues that aren't going to want to mess with it. And so I think there are probably some tickets that are for sale now that wouldn't have been otherwise. This is a big game. It's Pittsburgh. And I think there will be some people that don't come to the game. I don't know what that number is. I wouldn't even hazard a guess at this point, but I think we can safely say it is going to be some number is not going to show up.
Aaron Portsline from Columbus with The Athletic, the recommendation coming down from the state governor in Ohio: indoor sporting events be played without spectators. You mentioned that it is a recommendation. He does have the authority to ban spectators. Is that within his power?
Sure. He could say that the Blue Jackets are not allowed to play a game in front of fans. Yeah. Absolutely. It should be noted, too, that the local Ohio High School Athletic Association has championships going on this weekend, and those events are closed. No student fans, no fans, just family, immediate family allowed in the arena. So we're talking, I think it's wrestling and hockey this weekend, and then the state tournaments in basketball begin the following weekend, and I would imagine that will be held under the same sort of restrictions.
What's the status, and you may not know, on the Cavaliers' side, because they would be in a similar spot, right?
Yeah, they would be. That is a bit unclear. I mean, the governor has, his recommendation was for all sports in Ohio. So that would certainly cover the Cavs. That would cover Major League Soccer, the Columbus Crew, although they play outside. There are March Madness games, NCAA men's basketball scheduled for later this month in Columbus. So what do they do with those as well? This is then LeBron James, the great former Cav, has said, I'm not playing in front of a building without any fans in. I think he's since backpedaled from that as people realize the severity of the situation, but some of these things are still to be determined.
Got to say, we get excited anytime there's some John Tortorella, Aaron Portsline banter. We try and we soak it up, we eat it up as best we can. What's it like working with Torts every day?
Well, you know what? I feel like I can speak freely here because the chances of him hearing this are pretty much zero.
You don't know that.
No offense. I might tweet it. Just doesn't listen
to it's a big show. It's a big, very popular show.
Yeah. He can never know this, but I actually really like it. And it's not always pleasant, but it's never boring. Kami, Tommy's one of those guys that when you walked up to him and asked an honest question, you knew you were going to get an honest answer. You knew the notebook would be filled with something interesting. Tortorella's that type. It's not, again, it's, you don't always walk away with the with the good feeling. You're not always on the best terms, but it is never boring, and it's almost always interesting for readers, which is kind of the bottom line to all of this.
Well, I'll tell you what, you guys were just here last week, and Flames were lucky to come out of that one the way they did. Whatever it is that he's done with that roster, which is a complete mash unit, there's half of American League guys. The way that they are playing for him right now is really impressive.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and you know, ever since he's been hired here, you hear from certain fan bases all over, the guy can't coach. He doesn't know what he's doing. That's preposterous. You hear that he doesn't last long. Well, this is the third of his four stops that have lasted longer than the average NHL coach lasts. So that's kind of preposterous. Again, he's not always easy. I think the players here have learned when and how to take him. I think Nick Foligno does a really good job. There are certain coaches who need a guy in the room to sort of filter the message to players. I think Ken Hitchcock was similar. They're different kind of people, but he could leave a room in shambles, and it would be up to the veteran players there to sort of piece it back together again. Tortorella has this team dialed in. They have been playing playoff intensity style, especially away from the puck, for a few months now. But you look at that roster, there are nights I'm looking at the roster thinking, could they legally dress this in the preseason? Would this meet the standard
That's
of
right.
eight veteran players? And you're like, how are they winning? Like, it is crazy. A 19-2-5 run with that roster, and it feels like they're starting to put it back together again after that road trip.
Are they going to start to get some bodies back here?
You heard earlier this week that Cam Atkinson is probably next, but that's with an asterisk. No clue quite when that will be, if he plays Thursday. Seth Jones could be back for the last couple of games if they're important, but Oliver Bjorkstrand probably wouldn't be back until well into the first round of the playoffs. Jones might not either. I mean, it's crazy the numbers that have fallen here. Of course, the coronavirus hit this year. It's just been that kind of year in Columbus.
Thanks for your time, buddy. Good talking to you as always. Commie misses you.
I miss you.
That's right.
We'll have to catch up next time you're in town again.
Yeah, well, great job calling the Milano trade in Anaheim, man. You're all over it.
Yes, thank you very much. I got my pulse on the Blue Jackets every once in a while. Ortiz, you know that.
You're unbelievable. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You're unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. Thanks, Aaron.
Thanks, guys.
There you go, Aaron Portsline with the guys from earlier this morning. He talks about the Columbus Blue Jackets, what's going on with them, a little bit on Torts, and a whole lot more. So that was a good conversation that we had here on Hockey Central at noon. Don't forget to tune into the Sports Drive at 5 today, usually hosted by Ryan Pinder, but it will be Pat Steinberg doing that one today. It's brought to you by Pete the Plumber, the superheroes of plumbing and heating. Call 403-257-1766 or find them at petetheplumber.com for all your plumbing and heating needs. All right. When we come back, it will be No BS with Brian Burke. You are listening to Hockey Central at noon.
This is No BS with Berkey and Marek on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Claude Julien is our coach, and he will be back next season. Those words recently from Montreal Canadiens general manager Marc Bergevin. Does this surprise Berkey, though? And what do the Habs do next after another season of underachieving? That's next on No BS.
The Chevrolet Silverado Custom comes with a standard trailering package and 20-inch wheels, which means you're not only able to haul a literal truckload of gear, you can look stylish while doing it. Truck Month is on now. Lease the 2020 Silverado 1500 Crew Cab Custom for $148 bi-weekly. That's like $74 a week at 1.9% for 24 months with $3,200 down. Hurry into your local dealer or visit ChevroletOffers.ca for details.
Berkey, in a statement not all Habs fans welcomed, Marc Bergevin stood up for his head coach and said Claude Julien will return. Two things. What do you think of the move, and what's next for Montreal?
I think it's great because I think Claude Julien's a great coach. I think he's under contract for four more years, too, so they're not going to eat that contract right away. And I think Mark Bergevin is telling the truth. If he's back, the coach is back. Everything's fine. The question is going to be if Mark Bergevin is back. And Bergie is very popular. The reason you don't see more shots at him is because among GMs and coaches and hockey people, he's extremely well-liked. And therefore, he'll get lots of backing. No snipers, no side shots from, you know, like this guy whispers. So the question is Jeff Molson going to be loyal to Mark Bergevin and see this process through? He's done a lot of things well. They haven't gotten where they wanted to go or need to go. And that puts guys like us at risk, right? When I was in the GM seat, you don't have enough success, you're at risk. So I'm not sure if Bergevin gets through all this. I think so. But if he does, Claude Julien will be his coach.
And so then what is next for Montreal? Is there enough that you've seen on the ice this season to say this team just needs to mature a little bit more?
Yes, I think if they're patient, they'll get there. I like their young pieces they have. I really believe. I don't think the game is patient anymore. I don't think owners are patient anymore, especially Jeff Molson's not a new owner. He's a veteran guy. But some of these new owners don't have a clue in my mind, and they're not patient enough. I think it's an industry that fails in that regard. And I look at the turnover at coaches and GMs, and it's getting worse. With 32 teams now in another year, you're due to win a cup every 32 years. Tell me one owner who thinks that time frame's acceptable. It's not.
What was the main area of concern on the ice for the Montreal Canadiens?
In my mind, their defense. They've got some good young forwards coming. They got Poehling, they got Kotkaniemi. But on defense, I'm worried about what they have coming. They've got a good group now, but they're getting a little long in the tooth, and I'm not sure they've got a lot of help on the way. And just remember, in Montreal, the GM is always dumb twice.
How so?
He's dumb in French, and he's dumb in English. Everywhere else, you're only dumb once.
Good people can find themselves in bad situations.
My name is Robert. I was in debt and had collectors calling me all the time. So I called the Credit Counseling Society. They made the phone calls go away and taught me to live within my income. The best thing I ever did was give them a call.
The Credit Counseling Society helps Canadians manage their money or get out of debt, and they can help you. It's free. Call 1-833-90-DEBTS or visit nomoredebts.org. The Credit Counseling Society. All you've got to lose is your debt.
Want Brian to answer your question here? Use the hashtag #HeyBerkey on social media. Thanks for listening to No BS.